Thanks for joining us and listening to this sermon from Pompey Community Church. Our desire is that you can hear the Word of God and the Gospel preached wherever you are right now. We pray that this message will lift you up and help you on your journey as you grow closer and closer to Christ.
Good morning, PCC. Fun for me to be up here. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Tim Shields. I have the privilege of serving as one of the elders here. Excited to see a lot of normal PCC faces here this morning. I also invited a lot of non-PCC family members and friends who are mostly over here, so excited to see all of you as well. Glad you came. So Pastor John Andrew, over the last year, has highlighted a number of modern-day saints, reformists and missionaries, and so I wanted to continue that trend by highlighting a close friend and mentor of mine, Louis Rudin. All right, we're working. So if you look at these pictures, your first thought might be that I cherry-picked some goofy ones from a lifetime of mostly normal pictures. That would be wrong. These pictures are a pretty accurate representation of the way Louis lived his life all the time. Louis looks a little different, that is, quite a bit goofier than many of the people that John Andrew has highlighted, yet I have not met anyone else that God has used more powerfully for his kingdom. So Louis was a Young Life staff member for about 40 years in the Ithaca region. For those of you not familiar with Young Life, it's an outreach to non-Christian high school, middle school, and now college students. The idea is to build relationships with kids and then share the gospel in that context. Louis was a prayer warrior and a Paul to many Timothys, including me. Louis met with me every week to encourage and challenge me during the 4 years when I attended Cornell and led Young Life. He was constantly reminding me of the power and importance of prayer. Louis discipled hundreds of other people through the years and made countless disciple-making disciples in the process. Louis passed away in June of 2015. Thinking about the impact God had on so many people through him still challenges me to this day. Today, we're going to focus our attention on Mark 9, verses 14 through 29. This has been one of my favorite passages since college, and it's had a powerful impact on my prayer life, thanks to Louis. I'll tell you that story in a bit. Let's read the passage together. Mark 9, 14. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood, and it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." So here is the theme of today's message. We are powerless on our own, but we can turn to Jesus as the one who is powerful enough to save us and compassionate enough to go through with it. I'll say it again. We are powerless on our own, but we can turn to Jesus as the one who is powerful enough to save us and compassionate enough to go through with it. And our first point is, like the demon-possessed boy and his father, we are powerless against our own brokenness. Verse 14, and when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. So just to add some context here, so if we look back to the previous section in Mark 9, Jesus had just taken Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration, where they got to experience the glory of the Lord in a brand new way. Talk about a mountaintop moment. Now they're coming back down from the mountain into the valley, and they're seeing arguing and chaos as they come back down, which, again, is, I think, a pretty good picture of kind of the mountaintops and valleys we experience. Verse 15, and immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. We see this over and over in the Gospels. Jesus is attractive, and people want to be around him. That is, as long as he fits their image of a Messiah. Once he starts talking about or doing things that do not fit in the box that they've created for him, the crowd quickly dissipates. So here's a question for all of us. Are there things about Jesus that you shy away from, or teachings that you ignore? Something to reflect on. Verse 16, and he asked them, what are you arguing about with them? And someone from the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. So to summarize, the spirit does not allow the boy to speak. He does not have control over his own body. He is completely helpless. Verse 19, and he answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. Here, Jesus is really addressing his disciples, and he does not hold back. O faithless generation is a reference to Moses' song in Deuteronomy 32, where he talks about the faithlessness of the Israelites in the desert. This shows us that Jesus can certainly be stern, particularly with his disciples. The Lord can also be stern with us, but it's important to remember that it comes from a place of love and wanting us to grow in him. Verse 20, and they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy. So the spirit here immediately recognizes Jesus' power and felt compelled to react to it. Continuing in verse 20, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, and it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. So that question, how long has this been happening to him, really shows us the compassion that Jesus has and the concern that Jesus has for both the boy and his father. And then to reiterate what the boy is going through, he was convulsed, he was foaming at the mouth, he's been cast into fire and water in an effort to destroy him, and he's been dealing with this since childhood. If we take a step back, can you imagine the hopelessness and pain of the father here? I cannot imagine having to watch either of my girls deal with something like this for an instant, let alone for years, helpless to do anything. At the same time, this boy's physical condition is a pretty good representation of our spiritual condition without Jesus. We're born as imperfect beings. We constantly struggle with our tendency to rebel against God and the way he designed us to live. And we too are helpless to save ourselves and those we love from this condition. That brings us to point number two. Thankfully, Jesus is both powerful and loving enough to save us from our brokenness. Picking up in verse 22, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Jesus hones right in on the bit of doubt that needs to be addressed if the man's son is going to be healed. Then lovingly and somewhat sternly challenges him to expand his belief. So here's another question for all of us to reflect on. What is the bit of doubt that needs to be addressed in your life right now? Verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. The father's urgency and passion really shine through here. It seems to me that he does believe to an extent and desperately wants to believe more, but needs help getting over the hump. I don't know about you, but I love that phrase. I believe, help my unbelief. And it's become a bit of a personal mantra for me. Even in my belief, there can be aspects that I struggle with or wrestle with, right? But it's so encouraging to know that Jesus doesn't say, you know, sorry, you know, one strike and you're out, out of luck. You know, the story doesn't end here for the Father and his Son or for us. Right, the Lord does not want us to struggle silently with things like this. He wants us to come to him in prayer, and he's faithful to help us through our aspects of unbelief in his perfect timing. So don't be afraid to cry out to God for help, the same way that the Father cried out to Jesus. Verse 25, and when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. I never thought of this when reading this passage previously, but how does a deaf spirit respond to a verbal command? It's almost like there's a level beyond the verbal with Jesus' command here. And I love that Jesus adds the never enter him again part to his command. One, it's thoughtful, it's complete. And two, it just emphasizes that Jesus is in total control here. Jesus is the perfect representation of God the Father. And this is one of countless examples in the Bible where we see God's power shine through in tough situations. It reminds me of John 16:33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So while we live in this broken world, we will have tribulation. Jesus describes this as a certainty. But God has control over everything, including the spiritual realm, and Jesus has already overcome the world. And one day he will return to complete his victory. Hopefully that's encouraging to us. I know it's encouraging to me. It certainly should be. Continuing in verse 26. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Jesus taking the boy by the hand and lifting him up really got my attention as I was studying this. If we go to Mark 4:39, we see Jesus calm a storm with just his words. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus' words have power, and he could have just instructed the boy to get up in the same way he instructed the wind and the sea to be still, but instead, he takes him by the hand and lifts him up. This reminds me of another story in Mark, chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. So here we see Jesus again. He's moved with pity and compassion for this suffering man. Jesus touches the leper, someone with a contagious skin condition, before he heals him of his leprosy. Again, he did not have to perform the healing in that way, but I'm sure it meant the world to this man. And I imagine it was the first time he'd experienced the personal touch of another human in a long time. With both the leper and the demon-possessed boy, Jesus goes out of his way to make physical contact with someone who would have been an outcast in society and likely starving for contact with people. He also makes physical contact with both of them before they go through the steps needed to be considered ceremonially clean. Leviticus 14 explains the process for cleansing a leper according to God's Old Testament law. Very involved, and it takes days. By touching the leper and later the demon-possessed boy, Jesus would have made himself ritually unclean in the eyes of the onlookers. Yet Jesus has power over the forces of impurity. I'm just struck, you know, both of these stories by how compassionate Jesus is, and that compassion extends beyond the leper and the demon-possessed boy to all of us too. That brings us to our final point. Prayer is the way we ask God to save us and others from our brokenness. Verse 28, and when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. This is honestly a pretty fair question from the disciples, as Jesus had already given them the authority to cast out demons, as we read in Mark 3:14. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. To add some more context, here's Matthew's account of the Mark 9 conversation between Jesus and his disciples in Matthew 17, which was also our call to worship today. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Okay, so let's store that away for a second. Finally, here's some commentary from Eckhard Schnabel on the Mark passage. Jesus' point is this. While his personal authority allows him to drive out a demon, even a legion of demons, with a simple word of command, the disciples' authority is delegated authority, which means that in their encounters with demons, they always need to acknowledge their dependence upon God by praying that God will help them drive out the demons. Okay, so why were prayer and faith crucial in this case? How do we pull Mark and Matthew and Schnabel together here? So for me, there are two key takeaways. One is that God is the one who does the work. If we try to do his work in our power, we will fail. And two, we need to acknowledge our total dependence on him by praying to him and trusting him to do his work. Now I'll tell you guys why this passage in Mark 9 has been one of my favorites for so many years. One of the first times I encountered Louis, he was speaking at Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I think it was my third week going to FCA, and the two messages before were each 20 to 30 minutes long. Louis steps up to the front of the room. He reads this same passage, Mark 9, verses 14 through 29. He then asks, "Who here believes that prayer is powerful?" It's FCA, so basically everyone raises their hand. Then he asks, "Who here has a list of people they pray for every day?" Maybe one or two people raise their hands. And Louis goes, "Exactly." And he just sits down without saying another word. His whole talk took about 3 minutes. That short, simple talk started me on a new prayer journey. I started to make a list of family members, friends, kids we met leading young life. Whenever I met a new high school kid, whenever I met a new person in class, whenever I met someone new at our church, I would add their name to my list. And I prayed for these people every day. I firmly believe that lifting those people up to the Lord makes a difference with him and in them. It also makes a difference in me. When you pray for someone by name every single day, you cannot help but be more intentional in your interactions with them. So I have two challenges today aimed at two different groups of people. First, for those who do not yet have a personal relationship with Jesus, my challenge is to take a closer look. There are probably people in here who've been burned by churches or been burned by people who profess to be Christians or by religion. Jesus will not burn you. As we have seen today, Jesus is compassionate and he's powerful. Whatever brokenness or pain you see in your own life, it's not too much for Jesus. And he has compassion for you too. If you do not know him personally, I would encourage you to take a look, closer look at him by going right to the source. A good place to start would be to read the Gospel of Mark in the Bible. If you do not have a Bible and you want one, come see me, another elder, or a staff member. Second, for those of you who are already followers of Christ, I'm issuing the Louis Rudin Prayer Challenge. If you do not have one already, make a list of people in your life and keep adding to it as you meet new people and pray for those people daily. I'm confident the impact on those people and you will be profound. So back to my friend Louis. I went through and picked out some of the hundreds of comments that people shared on Facebook after Louis went to be with the Lord in June of 2015. He was instrumental in my walk with our Lord. He brought a lot of people to the Lord. Louis was the best mentor and friend a person could have. Louis loved people and loved life to the max. He taught me how to pray and taught me how to have authentic, genuine faith. He ran the race well. He would pray that when he met Jesus, Jesus would say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I can't think of Jesus saying anything else about him. He was a hero of the faith. Hopefully these testimonies paint a picture of the impact that the Lord made through Louis. Louis never married, he did not have any biological children, but the Lord gave him countless spiritual children. After Louis passed, a friend found his prayer journal. There were over 2,500 handwritten names on dozens of pages. I can tell you that it would take Louis over an hour to pray for all those people every day, but he did it faithfully. I'm not saying that you need to have a list of 2,500 people. I don't. But I am encouraging you to start somewhere and see what the Lord does through it. Here's a quote from Louis himself. "I pray for you every day. Setting aside prayer time is the hardest thing I do every day, but it's the most important because it's where God fills up my bucket with so much of the Spirit that it overflows onto others." Louis did not impact all those lives in his own power. He got out of the way so the Holy Spirit could work through him, and he prayed faithfully daily for God to do his work. Louis knew that we are powerless on our own, but we can turn to Jesus as the one who is powerful enough to save us and compassionate enough to go through with it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the gift of your Son. We don't deserve a Savior, but not only did you give us one, you gave us one who is incredibly compassionate and personal. I pray for my friends in this room who do not know you, that you would be drawing them to yourself and giving them the courage to take a closer look at Jesus. For my friends in this room who know and love you, I pray that you give them greater compassion for the people in their lives and that you would work powerfully through their faithful prayers. I thank you for this time and pray that you'd work powerfully through it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to our podcast to get all of the PCC sermons and visit us at pompeychurch.org. From everyone here at Pompey Community Church, we hope this sermon blessed you and that you have a great day.